Founder, Jaya, Shubhava, Gita, and to the devotion of Rumi Gita, Namacharya, Shubhava, Sakura, Gita, praying to go, Shri Krishna, Jaya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Adore, Tigadavar, Shivasani, or Bhakti, Rumi Gita. Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gopakriya, Shaya, Pandu, Radha, Pandu, Ego, Vrindavan, Ki, Jaya, Vrindavan, Dama, Ki, Jaya, Tur, Dama, Ki, Jaya, Navadvip, Mayapur, Dama, Ki, Jaya, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Nandamaya Jamuna Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Namah Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Guntulai Srimadhe Bhakti Vinanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharanye Nirase Sasunyavani Paskachadye Shatanya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate
Carolina reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 28, Text 3.
Shukru Shustam Apasyantam Krishna Rameti Gopakam Bhagavan Sadhu Pashrucha Yataram Varunagatam Tadantikam Gatorajan Swanam Abhaya Dobhibhu.
Please chant.
Chukrushu. They call out loudly. Tam. Hin. Nanda. Apashyanta. Natsing, Krishna, O Krishna, Rama, O Rama, Iti, thus, Gopakaha, the coward man, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord Krishna, Tat, that, Upashrucha, hearing, Pitaram, his father, Varuna, Varuna, Agritam, taken away, Tat, of Varuna, Antikam, to the presence, Gatana, went, Rajan, my dear King Parikshit, Swanam, of his own devotees, Apaya, of fearlessness, Dhamma, the Gir, Vipuhu, the Almighty Lord, BBT translation. O King, not seeing Nanda Maharaj, the coward man loudly cried out, O Krishna, O Rama. Lord Krishna heard their cries and understood that his father had been captured by Varuna. Therefore, the Almighty Lord, who makes his devotees fearless, went to the court of Varuna Deva. BBT Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that when Nanda Maharaj went to bathe in the river, he was accompanied by several coward men. When Nanda did not come out of the water, they began to cry out, and Lord Krishna immediately came there. Understanding the situation, Sri Krishna entered the water and went to the court of the demigod Varuna, determined to free his father and the other coward men from fear of a mere demigod. They loudly cried out, Krishna Rama, out of great pain. Spontaneously, they just uttered the names of the Lord. The name Krishna is first because they had special affection for that name, or because of its special power. Or it refers to the two brothers, Krishna and Balaram. The cowards, Gopakala, had gone with Nanda to bathe, or were his guards surrounding him on four sides. Krishna heard a close hand of shouting and how Ananda had been taken. This means that Krishna came to the place later, or, because of the shouting, Tat, hearing from far off, as if it were close, Upashruja, he entered the water. He had been attracted by the shouting.
It's just always interesting how Vaitaryas will sometimes give a variety of different explanations of the same Sanskrit. And this is, of course, using hermeneutical principles, that you have a boundary for explanations. You don't go beyond that boundary, but within that boundary, there's a variety of angles of vision by which one can understand. Going on listening to them, song, you speak out. O King, similarly the Lord gave fearlessness when the elder shouted, as the Brahmastra sent by Asvatthama approached you. Or the Lord shone, Raja, emitting effulgence because of anger. This is also a series of different ways to explain. Because he was the sole master of the people of Raja, Vibhu. Or, though he was all pervading Vibhu, he came there quickly out of affection. He was Bhagavan who shows unlimited qualities such as compassion delivering the people of the world. Though he could by his will alone deliver Nanda from the demon, in order to give benefit to Varuna by his great mercy, he entered the water on the pretext of delivering Nanda. So Krishna couldn't deliver Nanda just without going anywhere. But saying, I'm going to deliver Nanda, his actual purpose was to benefit. Jukrushustam apasyantam krishnaram medhiyopakamam bhagavadustam tad upashrujya pitaram varanaritam tanantikam vidhorajan swanam abhayado vidhu. O King, that same Nanda Maharaj, the coward man, loudly cried out, O Krishna, O Rama! O Krishna heard their cries and understood that his father had been captured by Varuna. Therefore, the Almighty Lord makes his devotees fearless went to the court of the Unity. So I'm going to focus on the last line here. Swanam Abhayado Vibhu. The great and powerful Lord Vibhu, as Swanam to his own people, Abhaya gives fearlessness. I know Sri Prabhupada's name was Abhayajan, one who has fearlessness at the lotus feet of the Lord. And we would all like to be fearless, yes? So much of material life is based on fearfulness, because the material world is very scary when we identify with this world. Isn't it scary? It's very scary. Right? We're in this body which is extremely fragile. It doesn't take much to make the body injured or sick, isn't it? Some little microscopic virus has put the whole world into a disease. And you just trip and fall, and you know, you break something. Right? We heard one of our devotees on the West Coast, she was going from the supermarket to her car, pushing her shopping cart, and a car in the parking lot hit her at a high speed and broke her pelvis or hips or legs. You know, this is... it's scary. If we think that we're this body, it's a scary place. If we think that we're this mind, it's a scary place. Old age, you can lose your mind. You know, there's many of our devotees who in their old age, you know, they don't have their mind anymore. I had our god sister, Aisha, who's now passed away. She had a stroke, and the only thing she could do was say Hare Krishna. She didn't know anybody, she couldn't speak. Scary. Or we take birth again and then we forget everything. And it takes us, you know, a couple years before we can say mommy and daddy again. So it's just scary. Right? And all of our supports, you know, our money, our home, our family, our connections, our reputation, all of this can be lost in a moment. So we're full of fear. And the reality is that the majority of what we do is based on a desire for security, right? It's one of the needs, isn't it? For security. But security in this world is not possible. You know, they even call, when you put your money in some, you invest your money, they call it security, right? But is it secure? Your securities. No, it's not like that. So, We are always looking for fearlessness. Yes? So we say the Lord gives fearlessness to his devotee. So many times what people think is that that means that the Lord makes sure that nothing bad happens. That's generally what people think. They read this line. Oh, the Lord gives fearlessness to his devotee. Great deal. I'll become the Lord's devotee, and then, you know, my body won't get sick or injured or die. My mind will be sharp forever. My whole family will love me forever. My money will always be in the bank. My house won't burn down. I won't be in a war, right? Isn't that what people think? Prabhupada talks about in World War II how the women went to church. Dear God, please bring back our men. You know, our fathers, our husbands, our sons, our brothers, and God didn't, and so they became atheists. And we see this even among the members of our Hare Krishna movement. You know, oh, my wife divorced me. What is the point? What is the use of God? My husband died, one of my God sisters, her husband died after a long illness, a stroke. And for quite some time, she says, I don't believe in God anymore. Where is he? And we may feel like that, isn't it? You know, I've kept up my end like it's a mercantile relationship. You know, I've kept up my end of the bargain. I've woken up early. I've changed my mind. I've followed the principles. I've taken prasadam. Why did you make this happen to me? We had a contract.
Okay.
Right? Isn't that? We think, I made a contract with God. It says right here in the Bhagavatam. So what does this mean? We see that calamities happen. They happen even to Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's father. Krishna's father, he's going to bathe in the Yamuna, as we were studying the other day, he's bathing in the Yamuna because he's feeling, oh, the Yamuna. If I go bathe in the Yamuna, my bhakti for Krishna will increase. If I follow the Sakadasi, my bhakti for Krishna will increase. Krishna will be so happy. He's not doing this out of following some vidhi. He just wants to please Krishna. He didn't do anything wrong. He's a Nitya Siddha devotee. How could he do anything wrong? And still, he gets kidnapped. I mean, by Varuna, who's a demigod, but in this case, Varuna's acting like one of the bad guys, right? You're kidnapped by a bad guy, by the servants of the bad guy. You're just going around doing your duty and some van pulls up and somebody puts a foot over your head and throws you a van and takes you away. That's what it was like. You know, he's going in the moon and he's just kidnapped. And all the coward men were like, Krishna, hold on. And there's so many calamities that happen to devotees. Man, what about the Pandavas? You know, Bhishma, he's on his deathbed and he's just like, I don't understand how this can happen to the Pandavas. First, they lose their father at a young age. Their father dies from a curse that happened because of a mistake. And then they go with their mother back to the kingdom and they're just constantly being assailed by the envy of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. Kunti said she felt like a deer surrounded by lions and jackals. Duryodhana tries to poison Bhima, which ends up making Bhima stronger. We'll get to that in a minute. And then they put them in the house of Lap, and they go into the tunnel and they're hiding. And then they stay with some brahmanas and there's this Bakasura who's going to eat everybody, and Bhima fights with him. Right, he's attacked by Adimba and ends up kind of having to marry a demoness, which again ends up being a good thing in the long run. But still, you know, any of you want to marry a demoness? And then they go in disguise and win Draupadi, and then they have Drupad's army and his influence, and they go back with Drupad's army and influence and wealth. Okay, here we are, the Pandavas. Alright, we're going to have Indraprastha, which was a desert. And by the grace of Krishna, Indraprastha became like a garden. And then Yudhisthira says, my dear Krishna, I want to do the Rajasuya, because that way everyone will see that your devotees are benedicted, that your devotees don't suffer. Krishna says, yes, I approve. But it took a long time. He had to bring his whole retinue, big retinue, 16,108 queens with 10 children each, and all their tutors and all their laundry people and all their guards, and, you know, and they're traveling from Dwarka to Indraprastha, and then they have to spend a year getting all the kings to agree, and Jarasandha doesn't agree, they fight with Jarasandha. And then they have this Rajasuya, and Yudhisthira is the emperor of the world. Finally, everything is set to rights. Great devoted Yudhisthira is ruling the whole world. And then, oh, my dear family, we're here to celebrate your Rajasuya. Come play a game with us. And Pandavas lose everything. Draupadi's attempt is made to make her naked. She's insulted. Duryodhana is like, you sit on my thigh, you have five husbands, you can have six. And then finally everything's given back, another gambling match, and then they're out in the forest for 13 years, away from parts of their family. Arjuna doesn't get to see, Subhadra doesn't get to see Abhimanyu grow up. Draupadi doesn't get to see her children grow up. Almost get cursed by Durvasa. Draupadi almost gets raped by Kicha. And then finally they come back. Okay, where's our kingdom? I'm not even going to give you as much land as you can stick the head of a pin into. And then there's a war and everybody's killed. All their children are killed. Even Draupadi's children are killed, as Sanatana Goswami mentions in this purport, by Asvatthama. After the battle, when they're sleeping, and then Asvatthama tries to kill Parikkit. And then the Pandavas rule for 33 years, but rule with all their children dead. With Bhishma dead, with Drona dead. As Arjuna said, how would we get material enjoyment from winning with our family dead? So these calamities happen to the devotees, these calamities happen to Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said to him, Prabhu was a young man. You're educated young man, go preach in English to English speaking people. And when Srila Prabhupada took that to heart, he thought, let me make a lot of money. That way I'll be able to do a big preaching mission. Many times people think like that. Before I can preach, I need a lot of money. And so he tried, he made a very successful business, he made large contributions to the various branches of the Gaudiya Math. And then, you know, all of his children but one were married, it was getting time that he could devote himself 100% to that mission, and then all of this has failed everything. And Prabhupada lived for like 9-10 years in, practically speaking, abject poverty. For 4 or 5 years he didn't even have a base. And he would travel to get donations, he'd travel on the train, and he wouldn't even have the money for the return journey. He was counting paisa. And he comes to America with, practically speaking, nothing. One trunk full of books printed with that time, it was Indian standard. I had an English editor, spelling, grammar was a little funny, the lines weren't straight, the paper wasn't high quality, the illustration wasn't high quality. And just place cartels in Tompkins Square Park and get some counterculture people. Right? And even before that, like there was a time he got the place in Jhansi that was taken by the governor's wife, he got gored by a bull. And Prabhupada was saying, he said, I thought maybe I made a mistake that Krishna is putting me into these calamities. He said, then I can understand there was something else. So Krishna puts his devotees into calamities. It's not that if we're a good devotee, a good pious person, that Krishna just sprinkles some, you know, magic dust on everything and everything. So everything's nice. You know, I remember my stepmother saying to me, why should I be a religious person? You guys suffer like anybody else. What's the point? This is the way most materialistic people think. Right now I'm studying the Gavin Cherry books, and it's like, these are all awful.
lamentation, guilt, fatigue.
You know, even the point Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada will say, yeah, these sound pretty awful. So from an external point of view, it doesn't look like the devotees are in a situation of fearlessness. Now, of course, as we mentioned in these, there's always something better. Like Srila Prabhupada said, I lost my family and 5 children, but I gained thousands of children. We're so happy that Srila Prabhupada's plan in Jhansi is a failure, isn't it? We're very thankful. Thank you, Krishna, for making Prabhupada's plan in Jhansi a failure. That pushed him to leave India. That pushed him to come to the West. Whenever Krishna takes something away, he gives something better. Not necessarily externally. It's not like Jyotami's 5 children died and then she got another 10 children. Sometimes what he gives better is internal. And Krishna explains this, that sometimes he takes things away to increase love. Right? In chapter 32, when Krishna's speaking to the gopis, and he's saying, you know, even for those who have prema, I may remove myself to increase their love. Because that's what we all want. We all want a love that's getting better and better and better, isn't it? Isn't that what we want? I mean, that's people's sentimental dream, you know, I'll be in love with someone when I'm 20 and marry them, and when I'm 80, we'll be even more in love. Isn't that right? People talk about, yeah, they were 85 and they died holding hands, more in love than they were when they were 20. This is what we desire. You know, someone asked in our Nectar Devotion class, why is there a need for vibhava? Why is there a need for a stimulus for love when this daibhava, Srila Prabhupada translates as continuous ecstasy? If it's continuous ecstasy, the devotee said, why does it need any kind of stimulant? And that's because it's dynamic. Love for Krishna is always increasing, increasing, increasing. I mean, even, I'm not even a beginner in bhakti, but even someone like myself, I find my relish from the shastra, it always increases. Yes, do you find this? Our relish from the shastra, from the name, from the devotees, from the prasadam, from serving deities, it increases. It's dynamic. So this is the real thing that Krishna gives in this calamity. Of course, he may also give something more externally. Like he takes from Balmaindra's planet. It's so funny. And Vamadeva takes heavenly planets from Balmaindra and he says, I'm giving you a better place than Indra. You really wonder how Indra felt about this. Okay, my younger brother gave me my kingdom back. Wait a minute, he's giving Bali something better. And he's going to stay there forever as Bali's doorkeeper. You know, what's this? So sometimes, even externally, one gets something better. Or I'm thinking about Trikasura. You know, what a funny story. You know, Chitraketu loses his one son that was his life. He was his son. He was killing him, but he had his son. And he has his son, gets taken away. And then he gets better. He gets to be with the, instead of all these 10 million women fighting with each other and killing the son, he gets to be with all these Vijayawada women. He gets to have his women Sankirtan party all over the universe. And then he gets that taken away. And it appears that he gets this really horrible situation as a demon. But that's his facility, Srila Prabhupada explains, and Acharya explains. We're going back to Godhead quickly, that the Lord could see that it was going to take him some time as this Vidyadhara traveling sankirtan party. So he got a fast track. And it's so funny, because there he is telling Indra, kill me, kill me, kill me, come on. You know, and he's hesitating. He's like, I don't know if I want to fight you. And Vrikasura is just Vitrasura. is just say, you know, kill me, kill me, because he knows he's going to get something better. So Krishna always gives something better, whether it's externally or whether it's internally. Always. I was thinking about this when a friend of mine in Europe, we correspond regularly, she was saying how a mutual friend of ours, so he was like in between houses, he didn't have any place to live, all he had was his car. His car got in a really bad accident, got smashed to smithereens, and somebody was saying, how can Krishna do this to you? You're such a surrendered devotee. You don't have any home, you don't have any apartment, now you don't have any car, you don't have anything. And the devotee says, I know Krishna always gives something better than what he takes away. And he did. He ended up giving you a much nicer car and a really nice place to stay with other devotees. But even if he doesn't give something better externally, he always gives something better internally. But we have to look for that. You know, there's such a tendency when Krishna takes away things, when Krishna puts us into calamities, to lose faith. Or to be angry at Krishna. The tendency is very strong. But that, of course, is the mood of the Sakama devotees. The Sakama devotees' mood is, I made a bargain with you, Krishna. I'm worshipping you for something in return. And I expect you to give me fearlessness by adjusting my external situation. And even though such persons are still devotees, it's really a Hiranyakashipu mood. Hiranyakashipu wants to become fearless by trying to control the material energy. Okay, it's not going to be inside, it's not going to be outside, it's not going to be the land, the sky, the sea, the day, the night, by anything living, by anything not living, by any weapon. And this way I'm going to become fearless. And he knows he has to get the benediction of Brahma. He can't do it on his own. So the Sakama devotees are like that. And therefore, you know, hey, you took my offering. And they get angry. They get angry. Like I tell the story often of Elie Wiesel, you know, who saw his mother and sisters burned alive in Auschwitz and became atheist. So this is a tendency. So sometimes we have to look, and sometimes we have to have faith that the calamities are also mercy, the calamities are also loving, that anything Krishna does is loving. This is true in an ultimate sense, even for the non-devotees. But here we're reading Swah, what belongs to him, his own people. I mean, like Jesus said, you're imperfect, but still you take care of your children. And those of us who are parents, we're imperfect. We have so many imperfections, but will we ever intentionally harm our own children? What parent would do that? Right? Or anyone we love, think about someone we love in this world. Even though we have so many imperfections and so much selfishness, would we ever harm them intentionally? No. Even a pet, even, you know, there's like these pet cats here. Someone has a pet cat, a pet dog. I visited an old high school friend when I was on the West Coast. She has pet horses. She says they're very expensive pets. But every day she visits her horses. Make sure they're okay. Make sure they get exercise. Make sure they get food. Make sure they get water. Oh, why wouldn't Krishna do that? And sometimes it doesn't look, you know, when we're a child, sometimes what our parents do doesn't look loving. Take this bitter medicine. Isn't it? You can't eat your dessert until you eat your food. Can't steal your brother's toys. And it may appear to us that our parents are inimical. So at least, even if we're on a Sakama level, at least we can have faith that Krishna is doing everything for my benefit. But higher than that is to be on a level of devotees like Nanda Maharaj, where we don't really think like that at all. We're not really thinking, is Krishna taking care of me for my benefit? That's just already so much of a given that there's this relationship of love that's not questioned. I mean, in the Leela, for Leela. Oh, Krishna's gone to another girl. It's another thing. But the devotee's fearlessness is part of their surrender. That my habits, one of the items of surrender, one of the six items, is that Krishna is always the protector of his devotees. And that Krishna likes to protect his devotees, like that story about Yogachima Bhamyam, where the two boys come. It's like Krishna enjoys protecting, especially when I'm talking about Itaka, who says that Krishna enjoys taking care of his devotees. I mean, again, we enjoy, my old high school friend enjoys taking care of horses. Why wouldn't Krishna enjoy taking care of his devotees? It's pleasurable. Isn't it pleasurable taking care of someone you love? I think it's one of the most pleasurable things in the world, isn't it? Yes. Giving and caring for and loving. So the devotees are giving Krishna happiness. They're not really thinking, what's Krishna doing for me? What's Krishna doing for me? Is Krishna taking care of me the way I want? Oh, I guess it all has a good purpose, and it's all for my benefit, and Krishna really loves me, and it's still about me, 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 me. Whereas the surrendered devotees like Nandamars, that's not their mood. Their mood is Krishna. Krishna, your father's gone. What will happen to you? You love your father. So this is the mood of the devotees. Their mood is whatever Krishna wants to do to me, that's okay, as long as it brings him happiness. I accept his protection in however he wants to give it, and however it feels beneficial, I will never go anything else. Like that bird, what's that bird that only takes water from the plant?
Chakora.
I have a friend who always calls him a chakora. So whatever this bird is, the chakora bird, it only drinks from the rain cloud. It wouldn't live very long in Dubai. Not very many rain clouds. It won't take water from any other source. So Krishna's my protector. Not my body, not my mind, not my securities, not my family, not my home, not my... Krishna's, and he can protect me however he wants. Marvi Raghavan, somebody, anybody. It doesn't matter. That not only do I trust him, but it's not even about, it's beyond that. It's beyond just that I trust that he has my best interest in mind, and I trust that whatever he takes away is to give me something better and deeper. It's beyond that. It's whatever makes him happy. Because my happiness, Swartha, my happiness is Krishna's happiness. I don't have some separate happiness that I'm thinking that Krishna's giving me. And that fearlessness is so deep and so broad. It's much more of a fearlessness than the mentality of I can trust Krishna. It's this real yoga. It's this real connection. And once you have fearlessness, then all of these seeming difficulties just become sweet. All of these, from a material point of view, strange emotions that Rupa Goswami is talking about, become sweet. Because there's this total, solid, deep, dynamic union of fearlessness. So, questions, comments? Yes, Maharaj.
I hear that you're criticizing fear, but I find that many times in the material sphere and also in the spiritual sphere, people want to be fearful. I mean, for example, when I was young, I'd go to the horror movies and I would enjoy being fearful. I'd have bad dreams and I would enjoy them.
You enjoy your bad dreams in the horror movies?
Yeah, in the horror movies. And I'd go to the roller coaster and I enjoy being fearful. And in the spiritual world, Krishna's enjoying being fearful. That's one of the indirect rasas, actually.
Yes, there's not only fearful. Yes. I'm sorry.
Like Krishna is driven when he sees all the coward boys going to the mouth of the Agasura demon. You know, so fear isn't such a bad thing. It's actually enjoyable.
So fear is enjoyable. Actually, Krishna gets scared when the coward boys come. They won't play with him anymore if he goes home to eat. Mother sort of has to say, "Not a mercy, won't eat unless you come home."
When Radharani won't see him,
he gets scared.
That
the fear that we like to enjoy in this world, so you're talking about like a horror movie or a roller coaster. Think about that though for a minute. When you're enjoying the fear of a horror movie, you know it's a horror movie.
No, not when I'm a kid.
Not when you were a kid. But there's some sense you know it's a movie. Some sense you know. And when you're on a roller coaster, you know that they put you in there and that the government has certified that it's safe. So there's some foundation of safety. Once you have a foundation of absolute safety, then fear is just tasty and exhilarating.
But in the spiritual world, there's no foundation of absolute safety.
Of course.
No, Krishna's an anxiety. He's not
thinking
I have a foundation, I'm God.
Well, he's not thinking like that, but that feeling is always there. It's always there. There's always this foundation of absolute safety, and therefore all these things can be relished fully. So that the foundation of absolute safety retreats in Yogamaya, and therefore they can really just taste the deliciousness of fear without there being any possibility of anybody actually being hurt. And they can go into it fully. Whereas in this world, it's actually dangerous, and it's not tasty anymore. You know, if you really have somebody kidnap you in a van and put a hood over your head, then that's actually not tasty anymore.
What about the people, race car drivers, you know, that live here and die? There's no
security. They feel secure. They feel that they're expert and they have a good car and they know what they're doing. They have a sense that I'm secure.
They know there's a good chance that they
win. Well, that definitely gives me exhilaration, but they have a sense that I'm going to be okay.
But there's no absolute.
No, therefore, materially, these emotions are all awful.
But they're enjoying it.
They're not enjoying it. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada.